This is Adventist World Radio Ghana, Voice of Hope.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
For today's Daylight magazine, we have Your Bible and You, Youth Corner, and Moment of Truth. I'm your presenter, Emanuela Brefumenta, welcoming you to today's magazine. Stay tuned.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is now time for your Bible and you.
For our reflections, we shall look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 11 to 15.
Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds."
And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said,
"Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth."
And it was so.
You just listened to the audio version of Genesis chapter 1, verses 11 to 15.
AWR, Voice of Hope, we will bring you joy, keep hope alive.
AWR, the Voice of Hope.
Brace yourself for our next segment, Youth Corner.
Beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you on. So afraid that you will not be found, it won't be long before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me, I lead you on.
It's another edition of Youth Corner. My name is Afreni Amakeke. I'm your host. And with me to do the discussion are Anita Adombuache and Lord Lugard Webu. Welcome once again, Lord and Anita. We are still discussing skin bleaching.
Thank you.
We ended on a very interesting note by talking about why people actually bleach. Anita did say that the fair complexion does attract, and people would want to fall within that category where they'll be admired by people. Lord also summed it up by saying that it all falls under inferiority
complex.
But why has there been all of a sudden an increase in the bleaching products we have on the market and the sudden interest of people to become fair beyond all these points that you have made?
Well, maybe people have developed the interest in bleaching and they have made it known to the whole world, those manufacturing those creams, that, hey, we want to look good all the time. We even want to exceed how we now look. So if you have products that can make us look brighter, all right, and more appreciable when we appear in society, we would patronize it. So they brought it to the markets and people began buying.
So because the consumers are readily available, the companies or the industries are also producing those.
You know, we have marketing agents and agencies. They do psychology a lot. They know what they want and they know how to get it. They know their target. So after surveying, many people are interested in this and that and that. Why not bring it up?
Well, Anita, many people, as Lord has pointed to, have suddenly shown, in recent times, shown interest in bleaching, including Christians. What happened to the church?
The media happened. I mean, everything is manipulated by the media. And it just takes an advertisement to change the minds of a nation. And you realize that when you open magazines, you open newspapers, posters, you look at these creams, majority of them have light-skinned women on them. And thanks to Photoshop and a lot of, you know, polishing of the pictures, they portray this skin color as beautiful without any blemish. And so people look at these pictures and feel that the skin they have is not perfect. And so I want that skin. Most of the celebrities we have, some of them are light-skinned. They look at these celebrities and feel they have the most beautiful skin. And so the media is responsible for the increase in bleaching creams because they convince the consumer that having this kind of skin is what is in vogue. It's what makes you beautiful. Even to the extent that creams that don't even have these chemical substances for bleaching still have light-skinned women as their models. And so you ask yourself, so what about me? What about me, the dark-skinned woman? What cream do I have? Then I also follow the crowd, and I also use this lightening cream. And some of them to come under the guise of toning the skin. And I like what you said. You know, sometimes we like to use different words to make the thing look a bit less serious than it really is. So they say, oh, no, it's used for toning the skin. But you realize that it goes further than that, and it makes you lighter. And once you look lighter, you receive the praise. Oh, I like your skin. You're looking good. Then it keeps going. So the reason why there's an increase is the media has succeeded in manipulating the minds of people.
Anita actually thinks that the media has succeeded in portraying fair complexion as the most ideal complexion for anyone to possess. What are some of the effects of toning that eventually turns to bleaching and bleaching itself? Lord, let's look at the health effects.
Let me say, the skin, as we say, it's open to every weather condition. And whatever affects the skin, okay, if it is not taken carefully, can eat into it and actually damage your outer look, seriously. And cancer is one disease that corrodes a particular portion of the body where it affects. Your skin is no more in its natural state. And so being able to heal well when you have cancer or any other skin disease is very, very difficult. It can even get you infected with cancer in the first place. Your body becomes weakened in a way. So it's open to skin rashes and other skin diseases that you may never even have had if you hadn't bleached your skin. So I would say cancer is the one I fear most. And then other skin diseases, that may change your outlook forever.
Another thing is your skin's natural ability to heal after being cut or inflicted with wounds is taken away. So you tend to have a sore that would have healed in days. Even last, it won't heal because you've taken the outer layer and you are left with the inner layer. So it invites all form of infection and all that. And you realize that those who bleach, because of the harsh chemicals, they have these blisters on them. And in fact, it's really not a good sight to behold.
Let me even say that, you know, the skin has a way of fighting germs when particles of germs fall on it. So if you bleach, your skin becomes thinner, such that germs can easily penetrate and then cause diseases to your system. So that's one other health effect.
Let's look at whether it can also affect anyone on the spiritual side. Does bleaching affect a Christian's spiritual life? Anita?
It affects your relationship with others. You know, as Christians, we are ambassadors of Christ. And if you, as an ambassador,
are not confident about yourself, how can you present Christ to another person? So it brings a form of guilt. Should you be questioned about why you are doing that? Imagine you approaching someone who is also doing a similar thing. How are you going to present Christ? You are telling the person that the Christ I believe in, you know, made me special, made me wonderful. But in the end, you are doing something contrary. So with respect to the spirituality, it has to do with your relationship with others and how you'll be able to accomplish the mission on earth. It sets you back and it does not portray the true Christ that you are supposed to.
Obviously, it doesn't portray the true Christ that you seek to be following. In 1 minute, Lord.
You know, God demands our all. Everything you want to give to God, He needs all. All doesn't mean that you kill yourself for Him. What He needs is your full attention. You want to serve God, He wants you to serve Him with your full attention. Nothing should come in between you and your God. You know, in this bleaching thing, you realize that even the time you spend applying those chemicals after bathing alone takes time. You get it? You spend a huge sums of money buying psych things. So you forget about buying those spiritual stuff like Bible and other gospel literature.
It becomes your God.
Good. Mm-hmm. Something like that. And so your mind is full of good appearances that you show to others when you pass them by on order. And so your appearance before God doesn't matter as much as it should. Yeah, so I think that is one bridge that it will bring between you and your God.
All right. So we'll draw the curtain here and continue in our subsequent editions, still on the topic of skin bleaching. Thank you so much, Anita Adomboache and Lord Lugab Webu. They have been my panelists today. My name is Afre Niama KK.
Is Adventist World Radio Ghana, Voice of Hope. If you need further information or study materials on issues we have discussed, please write to Adventist World Radio Ghana, Valley View University, P.O. Box AF 595, Adenta, Accra, Ghana, West Africa. Or if you have access to the internet, send us an email through radio@vvu.edu.gh. Or better still, you can call us on +233 3070 51 058 or +233 2087 04 532. If our lines are busy, don't give up. Just keep on trying, for we are expecting your calls, emails and letters.
AWR, Voice of Hope, we will bring you joy. Keep hope alive.
AWR, Voice of Hope.
You can never, baby, from my heart, I like to say there are. Thank you. So
thank you, Jesus, for the grace that you have.
The only way to multiply happiness is to draw closer to God through His Word. It is now time for Moment of Truth.
On the portals, He's waiting and watching, watching for you.
Beloved in the Lord, we'd like to welcome you again to Moment of Truth, a time set aside to know more about Jesus. Shall we all together bow our heads as we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we commit all our listeners unto the hands of Jesus. Father, may you come to speak to our heart through the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Beloved in the Lord, this is moment of truth, a time where God's words becomes much, much more clearer unto us. And today we're going to look at some social evils in our society: homosexuality, lesbianism, and bestiality. Beloved, our world is gradually ticking to its end, whether you believe it or not. But the Bible says so, and the signs of the end of the world are telling. And one notable sign of the end of time Jesus spoke about was lifestyle. That will be the same as that of the antediluvians, as the people in the days of Noah and the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. And notably among these lifestyles in the days of Noah and the days of Lot is sexual perversion, such as fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, and bestiality, among others. And Jesus says, "So shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed." Simply in part, Christ is saying that just as the days of Noah, the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, was actually a time when there was a high level of sexual immorality in terms of fornication and homosexuality and lesbianism and all kinds of sexual perversion, so shall it be prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Similar lifestyles will be seen in our society. Beloveds in the Lord, most of you will agree with me that sexual sin has become very common in our world today. And notable among this is fornication, which is eating up the society. Fornication in high classes and fornication in lower places. Fornication among worldlings and fornication among Christians. But the Bible says that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5, verse 19 to 21. Those who practice any form of this sexual perversion or sexual immoralities will not be part of the kingdom of God unless otherwise they have repented and given their lives to Jesus Christ. Beside fornication, Ghana is gradually maturing into homosexuality. Our society, beloved, has become morally permissive and tolerant. We are accepting any kind of sexual perversion. Nothing no longer seems evil, but normal way of living. We are accepting and accommodating whatever kind of lifestyle anyone chooses to live. We actually accept it on the right that it is my right. Today, we have a group of homosexuals who are boldly adoring themselves and calling for recognition by society as an acceptable form of sexual relationship. And the Church of God, where do we stand? This situation is affecting many churches today, which are rethinking of old moral standards if homosexuality should be accommodated or accepted as moral sexual relationship by the church. That is the position most churches today find themselves. Should we allow it? Should we change the rules? Should we accommodate it? Should we accept it as they are right, irrespective of what the Bible says? Where do we stand, beloveds, as God's church? The Bible and homosexuality. The first direct picture of homosexuality in the Bible was in Sodom. It was an unpleasant situation. It was a time where angels have come to the house of Mr. Lot, and the men of Sodom and Gomorrah actually paraded the house of Lot, and they were demanding that Lot bring out the men that we might know them sexually. And this situation called for a direct judgment of God on the Sodomite, and they experienced instant blindness. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was because of sexual immorality or sexual perversion, particularly homosexuality. When we turn our Bibles to the book of Jude, as we read verse 7, the Bible says, "As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round them in a similar manner of this, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh," that is homosexual, "at the same flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." I was saying that Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by God because of sexual perversion of same-sex sexual relationship or practices. The Bible directly objects to all homosexual practices as abomination and perversion. When we turn to the book of Leviticus chapter 18, the Bible begins to state God's position in relationship to certain sexual practices. In Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, the Bible says, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." It simply means a man and a man should not be involved in same-sex relationship. The Bible says it's an abomination. "Nor shall you mate with any animal," that is bestiality, "to defile yourself with it. Nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is perversion." Simply means a man or a woman should not lie or sleep or have sexual relationship or sexual intercourse with a beast or with an animal. Verse 24 says, "Do not defile yourself with any of these things, for by all these the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you, and the land is defiled. Therefore, I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it, and the land vomit out its inhabitant." The Bible is saying that because of this kind of practices, the anger of God is written upon nations. And the Bible says it is a defilement, it is an abomination, it is a perversion out of normal situation and must not be allowed. "And nothing that defiles or causes abomination," the Bible says, "shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Revelation 21, verse 27. Paul says that those who practice homosexuality, lesbianism, and are worthy of death. It sounds very, very serious, beloveds in the Lord. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 26-32, God states out his mind because he made us and he set the moral standard. And one thing we need to know that we have rights as human beings, but God is the final arbiter of morality. He tells us what is moral, and he tells us the standard he expects from us. He set a standard, and we conform with it. And rejection of it brings judgment upon us. So the Bible says those who do this deserve death. Romans 1, 26-32 talks about that. It says, "For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchange their natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, bent in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which are due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to the base mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, and violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do they do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." So, beloved, you see, it become more serious. When we take God out of our lives, God also withdraws away from us and says, and we develop debased mind, unfruitful mind, that goes contrary to the will of God. And this is the first part. May the Lord continue to strengthen you. As for listening for the series of this topic, social evil that is affecting our society, this moment of truth. Your servant, Pastor Jim Y. Aduade. May God bless you for listening. Amen.
This is Adventist World Radio Ghana, Voice of Hope. If you need further information or study materials on issues we have discussed, please contact us on Adventist World Radio Ghana, Valley View University, P.O. Box AF 595, Adenta, Accra, Ghana, West Africa. Or if you have access to the internet, send us an email through radio@vvu.edu.gh. Or better still, you can call us on +233 3070 51 058 or +233 20 87 04 532. If our lines are busy, don't give up. Just keep on trying, for we're expecting your calls, emails, and letters. My dear listener, I believe you have been blessed by our programs. Keep pondering over lessons learned from our magazines to stay blessed. Enjoy the rest of your day. I have been your presenter, Emmanuela Brifumensa. Bye for now.